Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." You know, brothers and sisters, you ought to have mercy on the preacher this morning. Because I had a homily all prepared, and every now and then God just tells me when I get up on a Sunday morning, "Oh no, not that one." So I've been looking around, or not looking around, but I was praying this morning, and I've sort of reworked things, but I'm not quite as familiar with the material as I usually hope to be, but it'll be all right. Amen, church. But you know, when the Lord stepped out of the tomb, he didn't just resume his earthly life the way he was before. He was transformed. And not only was he transformed, but he said, "I too now am ready to offer you a new and a transformed life." And you know, every now and then it occurs to me that we Christians don't often have high expectations of our relationship with God. Too many people just think, "Well, you know, I guess I'm angry all the time, I hate my job, I'm arguing with my spouse all the time, my kids are driving me crazy, and I guess that's life, and it's about the best I can expect." Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to completely change our lives, transform us, so that some of the anger and the resentment we ought to see begin to go away. Some of the greed and the cynicism ought to begin to diminish in our lives. And replacing those things, greater serenity, greater confidence, greater joy, a whole new life, a new mind, different priorities. We ought to see our life dramatically changing because Jesus rose from the dead and is offering us new life. And today in this gospel, John's gospels can be difficult because the wording is often stitched together in very difficult ways, but let me just suggest to you that in this gospel today, the Lord is saying, "I'm offering you three things: a new heart, a new mind, and a new life. And I want you to come to realize that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. I want you to realize that I'm offering you a new mind, a new heart, and a new life." Now this word, realize, we use it a lot, but I wonder if we really think about what it means. To realize means to experience something as real. Usually we say, "Aha! Now I realize, now I get it." It finally dawns on us that something is real. Not just on the pages of a book or some theory somewhere. To realize means, aha, it's real after all. And Jesus is saying to us today, I'll quote again, "You will come to realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." So the title of the message this morning is, "Let's Get Real." Let's get real. You know, how often do we gather in this church and we hear that Jesus rose from the dead, we hear that he died for us, he rose from the dead, we hear that he's telling us to do certain things, and it all just stays up in our brain, gets tucked away, or stays on the pages of a book. But every now and then, in our life, we finally come to say, aha, now I know it's real. Do you understand what has to happen for us? The words of God's proclamation have to leap off the pages of this book and come into our mind and hearts and be experienced as real. Now the Lord today is saying, I want you to realize, that is to say, to experience as real, that I am offering you a new heart, a new mind, and a new life. Let's talk about those three things. First of all, the new heart. The Lord says something, and you got to be careful how you listen to it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Now, you could hear it this way. If you love me, prove it by keeping my commandments. Do you really think that's what Jesus is saying? Brothers and sisters, let me just tell you something. In your flesh and in my flesh, we're not going to keep the commandments. It isn't going to happen. We're rebellious, we're angry, we're bitter, we don't want to be told what to do, we're thin-skinned, we don't want to change. That's what our flesh is all about, that pride, that ego. And so for the Lord to tell us, out of your own flesh power, keep my commandments in order to, and then prove that you love me, and maybe I'll love you. Church, that is not biblical, that is not the new covenant, that is not the New Testament, that is not what Jesus died to give you. Another set of rules. Hello? Jesus died and stepped out of the tomb, and guess what? There's more rules to follow. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Come on, church. That is not the New Testament. Are you playing with me? But don't you know that many Christians basically think that's it? I better keep all the rules, because otherwise God won't love me, or God will be mad, or church. This is how it works. It's not keep the commandments and then God will love you. It's this. Let God love you and you'll keep the commandments. Let God's love be poured forth into your heart and you will begin to love Him. And you'll keep His commandments not because you have to, but because you want to. Now that's the new covenant, church. I want to love my neighbor. I want to be chaste. I want to be less greedy. I want to love the Lord all the more. Do you know what love can do for us? Brothers and sisters, I just have some... I hope I haven't shared... Well, if I've shared these stories with you in the past, forgive me for sharing them again. But I remember how love can change who I am. You know, it can just... First of all, love is extravagant. When you really love someone, do you really say, what's the least I can do and just get by? Or do you want to do more? For example, imagine a young man who is courting a young lady. And this is before the I do becomes you'd better. And he really loves her. Now, when her birthday comes around, do you think he'll say, all right, it's your birthday, and I'm supposed to buy you a gift. So what's the cheapest gift I can get you to fulfill the requirement? Is that love talking? He's going to go out and probably spend more than he should, amen? Otherwise, we might not get any further in the relationship, alright? But you see, if love is present, he won't talk like that, will he? He'll say, look, your birthday, I'm excited. I can show my love and go out and buy you an extravagant gift. Or it comes time, let's say the relationship has gone along a little further and it comes time to get engaged. Now, does he say, let's negotiate here. I'm supposed to buy you an engagement ring. what's the cheapest ring I can buy? And just to fulfill the requirement. No, that's not what love says, does it? Love is extravagant. It wants to go out and get the best you can. Now, the reason I'm saying this to you is, do you begin to see what love can do for us? If I really love God, when I talk like this, do I have to go to church? Would a young man say to a young woman, what's the least amount of time I can spend with you if you really loved her? Do I have to go to church? We talk like that to God sometimes. What's wrong with us? Do I have to go to confession? Do I have to pray? What happens though when we really begin to love God? When we really begin to say, Lord, and He sends His Holy Spirit, and our hearts begin to become transformed, and we begin to love Him more and more. We don't talk like that anymore, do we? It's not that I have to go to Mass. I want to go to Mass. I can't wait to praise the Lord. Can anyone say amen? I look forward to being in God's house. I love Him. I want to spend time with Him. I'm glad to pray. See, love can change the way we think and change what we like. Now, when I was in high school, this is back in the early 70s or mid-70s, and, you know, rock and roll was in its heyday, and I had long hair down on my shoulders, and I had to be cool around my friends. You know, you know how silly the 70s were. Some of us look back on the 70s. That was a pretty silly time, wasn't it? The way we wore our hair and some of the stuff we did and some of the kind of clothes we wore. But anyway, I had a reputation to maintain. You understand, right? Anyway, I met a young lady named Paula. And Paula was going to change something in me. She had a very strange thing that she liked to do called square dancing. With the emphasis on square. Now, I had a reputation to maintain, my brothers and sisters. Rock and roll all the time. Just give me that old-time rock and roll. And then square dancing, you have got to be kidding. You mean like bales of hay and left Alabama and do-si-do and talking with a mountain accent? She said, I like square dancing. Would you like to come square dancing with me? Now, brothers and sisters, if I didn't have love for her, I sure would not have gone anywhere near that square dance. But I love Paula. So you know what began to happen? Paula, if it's important to you that we go square dancing, don't tell my friends, but I'll go. And you know what? I really began to love square dancing. I really did. And I even became the chief financial officer of the square dance group. You see what love can do? Love can change us. And you see, what the Lord is saying is this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now yield to the love that I want to shed in your heart. This Holy Spirit that I want to send you. And this love, you say, I'll never want to pray. I'll never really want to be chaste. You know, St. Augustine, one of his most infamous prayers was, my prayer was, Lord, make me chaste, but not yet. He says that in his Confessions. There may be a lot of things that you don't feel ready to do. Commandments that you don't even think you can keep. struggles. You say, I want to start to give up gossiping or whatever, but I don't even know how. Or I know I should want to pray more, but it's hard to pray and I find it difficult. And how will I ever change? And the answer, church, is love. Just come to God, get on your knees and say, Lord, help me to love you more. Lord, just pour forth your Holy Spirit. Pour forth your love in my heart. And everything else will be automatic. Not only will I keep your commandments, but I will want to keep your commandments. Now, brothers and sisters, I can only testify for myself, but I hope I'm not alone in this church when I can say, over the last 25 years, I've taken my spiritual life seriously. The first 21 years of my life, I wasn't very serious about my spiritual life. I went to church because I had to. My parents made me go when I was a youth. But I really didn't love God. I didn't really know much. I didn't really care much about God. But around age 21, 22, I began to get serious. I had a conversion, and I eventually went to the seminary. In the last 25 years of my life, I've been much more serious about prayer, receiving the sacraments, weekly confession, daily Eucharist, daily prayer. And you know what? I really love the Lord. You don't know what He's done for me. He gave me the victory. I really love the Lord. And He's changing my life. And this love of the Lord is being poured forth into my heart. It's changing my mind. It's changing my heart. There are sins that I used to commit that I don't even want to commit anymore. It grieves me to think that I ever even thought it was a good thing to do. And that's what love can do. Love can change and transform us so that we keep God's commandments, not because we have to, but because we want to. Lord, if you want it, I don't want it. I want it. If you don't want it, I don't want it. Now, that's the way the saints talk, right? Lord, if you want it, I want it. If you don't want it, I don't want it. Some of us are still struggling with that. How come I can't have it? It's not so bad. But everyone else is doing it, right? But brothers and sisters, the more God's love takes root in us, if you love me, He says, you'll keep my commandments. So if you're struggling in any area of your moral life, yes, repent, get to confession, but get on your knees and say, Lord, just pour forth your Holy Spirit of love into my heart and help me to love you more and more, and I'll even like square dancing. You see, our lives can be changed by love. Are you praying with me this morning? And can anyone else in this church testify that if you've been stable and steadfast in your spiritual life, that you love God more today than you used to love Him, and because you love Him, you can do things you thought you never could do. You can keep commandments you thought you never could keep. God can change us. That's what love can do. Change us. So not only does God want to give us a new heart, a real heart with which to love Him, but He also wants to give us a new mind. He says, not only will I send you my Holy Spirit to give you a new heart, but I want to give you a new mind. And notice He says, the Advocate will come to you, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And you will know Him because He remains with you and will be in you. And brothers and sisters, here again, I can testify that over the years, God has given me a new mind. You know, a lot of times people think, the Holy Spirit, and they think only about getting emotional and happy and having joy, and that's all important. Don't get me wrong. But the Holy Spirit doesn't want to just give us an emotional moment, because you know, brothers and sisters, you know. You hear the word motion and emotion? Motion, emotions pass through us, don't they? We have our ups and downs. But what the Holy Spirit wants to give you also is a new mind. so that we begin to think differently. So that we begin to think differently about everything. We have different priorities. What we used to think was important isn't important anymore. And what we didn't used to think was important now is most important. We begin to have a new mind and we see things differently. Our lives are changed and we see the world differently. We realize that I'm just passing through. We don't get so focused and so rooted in this world and all of its ups and downs. We have different priorities. Our mind begins to change. We think more like God thinks. A new mind, the Spirit of truth. And again, brothers and sisters, I can only testify that after all these years of reading and studying God's Word and so on, that I think differently than I used to about so many issues. Whether it be moral issues, whether it be about priorities in my life. So my life, my mind, and my heart are changed. It was simply a matter of learning the catechism. It was learning the basics. For example, let me just give you one of the most basic questions in the catechism. Why did God make me? Now, some of you older folks might remember the answer, just like that. But you know, I wonder how many people today really could answer that question. Why did God make me? Now, the world says you were made to be popular. You were made to be powerful. You were made to be good looking. You were made to be wealthy. You were made to be happy in this world. Oh, by the way, and then you die. End of story. Hello? They never tell that. That last point gets left out, doesn't it? But God's Word says, God made me to know Him and to love Him and to serve Him in this world and to be happy with Him forever in heaven. Now that's a new mind, isn't it? Because if we really begin to know and understand that that's why we've been made, our whole outlook can change. Our priorities begin to change. When we suffer loss in this world, we say, that's all right. When we suffer struggles and trials and tribulations, that's all right, this is not my home. I shouldn't feel too much at home here. We begin to think differently. We're no longer as devastated about things as we used to, about worldly losses and things like that. Our mind and our heart begin to change. And the Holy Spirit begins to give us a new mind so that we think differently. And again, we understand God's commandments. They begin to make sense to us. They begin to fit together. They're coherent to us. We begin to understand that God's not just trying to take away my fun and giving me commandments. God is trying to bless me. And I've been blessed in keeping the commandments. And the commandments make sense to me today. They didn't always make sense to me. How come God said that? How come I can't have it? How come I can't do that? But all these years, church, of praying and receiving the Holy Spirit, my mind is clear on these things now. God's way makes sense to me. God's commandments are sensible. How many of us struggle to understand the cross? It takes a new mind to get that, doesn't it? That there's a role for suffering in our life, and that it has a salvific role. It takes a new mind, and God wants to give us that. And finally, brothers and sisters, not only is there a new heart and a new mind, but there's a new life. I want to tell you, and I told you this many times before, but it's worth repeating. I'm almost 47 years old now, but I'm more alive at 47 than I was at 27. Now there's more of me to be alive, but I am more alive. I would never want to be 27 again. I'd have my hair back and I'd have a thin body again, but in the end, church, I'm happy to be 47. And I'm heading toward 87 with all the joy in the world. I'm more alive today, more serene, more confident. The Lord brought me a mighty long way. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. And I have a testimony. God never fails. He abides in me and gives me the victory. I've had victory over sin, victories over fear, victories over a lack of self-confidence. I've done things I thought I never could do. God's given me a new life. I'm more joyful, more serene. St. Paul says, our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. A new life. And I heard some of you testify with me just a minute ago. But you see, when Jesus stepped out of the tomb, church, He said, I'm offering you something new. Don't go on thinking that your life should just be dreary and dismal as it has been, without hope, without confidence, without joy, locked in sin and in bondage to addictions or whatever it might be. You don't have to live that way anymore, says the Lord. I'm giving you something new. I'm giving you a new heart. You'll really begin to love me. And the more you love me, the more you do what I ask, not because you have to, but because you want to. You'll even love your enemy. Why, you might even love your spouse. I can give you a new heart. Expect it. Call upon it. Say, Lord, you can change me. If I'm struggling to love my spouse, love one of my children, if I'm struggling to love my enemy, if I'm struggling, Lord, you can change it. I know you can. You can work miracles. Lord, you can even give me a new mind. And you've given me a new life. My life can change. Church, because Jesus stepped out of the tomb. And don't forget, we didn't leave Easter behind 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. It's still here. We're still celebrating Easter. And the Lord is saying, I'm offering you a new life. I'm blessing you right now. Right here, right now, I'm offering you something brand new. Church, God never fails. If Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me, how could it be anything less than total and complete victory? Victory over sorrow, victory over sin, victory over suffering, victory over death itself. If you've got any struggles in this church, get on your knees today sometime and say, Lord, you can give me the victory. Because victory is mine. And tell Satan, get behind. Because victory is mine today. Jesus, I said Jesus, is offering me a whole new life. And He says, you will come to realize what I've done for you. In other words, you will come to experience that this isn't just some story on the pages of a book. This isn't something that your preacher told you. This isn't something your mother told you. This is something that you know is real. That I stepped out of a tomb and that I'm ministering to you and I'm giving you a new mind, a new heart, and a new life. You won't have to quote anyone else. You can say, I know it's true. It's happening in my life. Jesus is real. And you will come and I will come to realize, to experience as real, that He's given me the victory. Amen.